Thank you so much for staying with us here on Elevated. And I've told you all about Pastor Cynthia Makubela, and it's now my absolute privilege to welcome to Elevate Pastor Cynthia Makubele, the author of this incredible new book that we'll be talking about a little bit later. But first, we get to know the woman behind the voice, behind the pen. Pastor Cynthia, good day and welcome to Elevated.
Good day, Chenley. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be with you today.
Pastor Cynthia, I've shared a little bit about you with our viewers earlier or with our listeners earlier, but I would like to know when you describe yourself, when you introduce yourself, how you would do that, because sometimes we just know what's on paper, but you've lived through the entire testimony. How would you describe yourself?
Just like you have already introduced me, Jen Lee, my name is Cynthia Makubele, also known as the First Lady. I call myself the First Lady because of the responsibility or the position that I hold as a pastor's wife. So I am known as the First Lady. I am married to Pastor Makubele, blessed with three beautiful children, a boy and two girls. I grew up in a Christian family, so I have a very strong spiritual background from a very young age. If I may speak about my academic, I hold a BA in social sciences from University of Limpopo with an honors in behavioral science in HIV and AIDS from UNISA, as well as the honors in public administration from a University of Stellenbosch. Ministry-wise, just like I've highlighted, I'm married to Pastor Makubele, and together we are serving as co-pastors for Kingdom Destiny Center in Polokwane. Basically that's who I am. I'm also the visionary behind Women Behind the Veil, which is a Bible study for women, where we focus on the women in the Bible who made an impact. So we look at those women, trying to find out what can we learn from them and how can we apply those lessons on our day-to-day lives. I'm very passionate about the women's ministry. Hence, I have this. I actually have two ministries that speaks to women, to be specific.
Yeah. I must say, First Lady, when I read your a little bit about your biography and as you just introduced yourself as well, one of the things that really caught my attention is the education part of it. Why is education so important?
I believe that we need to be relevant as much as we are called. Spiritually, we are called. There's no doubt that the Word of God says God has given us gifts and talent. But for us to be relevant in the area or in the lives that we live, we need to be relevant. We need to capacitate ourselves so that we are able to navigate the issues of life. We cannot only be spiritually, but we also need to develop ourselves academically so that we are relevant. For example, when you are called in a meeting, are you relevant? You're not going to go into a board meeting and quote the verses. You need to be relevant in that specific meeting that you are called. So I think academically helps us as Christians, as servants of God, to be relevant to the world, because we are here and we need to be relevant to the places that we find ourselves.
Amen, amen. And you know, Pastor, we're finding ourselves at the beginning of another academic year, and I always use the opportunity to ask for advice, specifically for those who are working and studying at the same time. It can become so overwhelming, and as a mother of three children as well, you're a first lady, you're running a ministry, well, various ministries as well. What would your advice be to those who might be feeling a little bit overwhelmed and a little bit lost when it comes to studying and working at the same time?
I think mostly the Word of God says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I believe the base of the strength or the courage to do something will be how grounded are you when it comes to God, and God Himself will give you then guidance. I always say when I advise, especially young people, to say, God will give you grace to do something in a very short space of time. When whatever that, maybe for example, something that you are supposed to do in 3 hours, because God knows the responsibilities and expectations that you are carrying. God can give you a grace to do something that you're supposed to do in a week, for you to do it in 3 hours or in a day, because you have that grace. So I think when your foundation is in Christ, and then you are able to go to God to say, God, I'm faced with this. God knows your responsibilities. He knows what is expected of you. So your ability will come from the foundation of you knowing that I can't do this by myself. I need the grace of God. Then that's when you'll be able to manage and navigate around that. Also, the issues of time management. As much as you do have grace, how do you then manage your time? You know the schedules of the week to say, I'm expected to be waking from 8 o'clock until 4:30. And then after that, where do I go? What do I do? There are times where you don't have to be attending that conference. Even as you have got that invite as a servant of God, there's no need for you to be on that a service or that conference. You can decline because you know that I've got an assignment to submit. I need to have some time with my children. So time management also, and being grounded and being knowing what exactly that you want. And I think that basically that what helped me to say I can decline an invitation for a conference. I can now decide that this is my time now with my family. So God helps me to navigate around that. And there's grace for speed. There's grace for speed,
Amen.
and God is able to give us that grace.
Incredible advice there from Pastor Cynthia Makobele, the author of Dear First Lady, Pastors, Wives, and Women and Ministry. You are queenified by grace. We're going to get to the book in a bit, but I have to ask you, Pastor Cynthia, when you married the man of God, take us back to that. That time, did you know? Was he already in ministry? Did you know that you are going to be a first lady and have to carry all the pressures and challenges that comes with it? Take us back to the beginning of your journey as a first lady.
Well, Jenny, fortunate enough for me, I married someone whom I knew from a very young age. Fortunate enough, we went to the same high school. So I saw him grow. Him being a pastor's kid already, you have a union that this person can be a pastor because of the background of Christianity. He is a pastor's kid, and him us going to the same school. I've seen him taking leadership roles in our high school time. He was a president of SCO, known as Student Christian Organization. He was a pastor already, even in in those times. So when we got married, I knew that this person has a calling in him. So when we got married, we've been to several churches, several ministries, where he was serving as a youth pastor, as an assistant pastor. So I was very much comfortable in that season because I was not on the forefront. Him being an assistant pastor, it meant that there's a pastor, there's a pastor's wife who carries the burden. So I was just behind the scene, just being there comfortable on that space. And throughout our journey, we never actually spoke about us having our own ministry or us leading a church. Hence, I was so comfortable to. I never imagined myself now being the main pastor's wife. So Not until I think around 6 months before we started our ministry, where he told me that God spoke to him, and yo, just like Sarah, I loved, and I was like, where is this coming from? Because we never spoke. I know you have this calling in you, but I actually thought this is how our lives would be, being assistant, being behind. Maybe under someone's leadership. So, but through the grace of God, he was able to take me through what God spoke to him, and fortunately, I had to accept. I had to accept that when God says it's time, I cannot deny what God wants to do, and I believe that he knew of this that at that moment, even before I could even. We could even know it ourselves. So it's I can't say it was a surprise for me. I've seen this journey even from the young age. I've seen us serving in churches and ministries, though I never thought that one day I would be the main pastor's wife, as I have highlighted.
You write about how first ladies, pastors' wives, or women in ministry, how they face quiet battles. And after the music break, we're going to get into the book and what it offers. But I first want to ask you, Pastor Cynthia, what's been the biggest battle as a first lady that you've have had to fight and that you've overcome?
I think boundaries. I had a challenge on navigating the issues of relationships and boundaries, because sometimes when you are in that office, there's just so much expectations about around you. People expect more from you, and when you don't have boundaries, you find yourself being there for everyone. And in the process, you are losing yourself. You get burnt out because you are always there. Every weekend you are there for this one. Every time this one calls you for this and that. So I think the issues of boundaries, I wanted to people to accept me. I wanted people to understand my role and my position by being all over, by doing everything and being there for everyone. And also, when you don't have boundaries, I ended up allowing space where I become too vulnerable with people to an extent that people no longer saw me as the mother at church because they were no longer confident in me that they can come and share their vulnerable moment, confide on me as a mother because they knew that if I speak to her, the next thing maybe I'll hear my issue, my story from that one, because this person does not have boundaries, can just speak with whoever and however. So I think the issues of boundaries was one thing that challenged me. And also, as I highlighted, the issue of sometimes wanting to do so much, it becomes a challenge because you don't have time for yourself, you don't have time for your family. And wanting to be validated, so I think somehow God graced me along the process to remind me of my role and my position. So I think that was my main challenges as we started with the ministry.
Pastor, I'm very, very intrigued by the cover of your book. It's the first thing that caught my attention. Talk to us about your decision to write this book. Where did it all start?
If you can, maybe starting with the title of the book, Dear First Lady, You Are Queenified by Grace. I've said already that I refer myself as a first lady, which is the title that reminds me of my position and my responsibilities. So many of the times when I'm meditating, when I'm introspecting or maybe going through something, I'll always say to myself, dear First Lady, you got this. Dear First Lady, you can do this. So it was more of me talking to myself. It was more of I can say it's more of a letter to myself. But somehow along the way, as I was navigating through this, I realized that my experience and my journey could actually help someone who is in the same position, whether as a pastor's wife or maybe you're just serving in the ministry. So that's where the title of my book is coming from. And when I speak of being qualified by grace, it's basically me saying you are qualified by grace. So I changed the word qualified to qualified to accommodate the title of my book to say you are qualified by grace. I think I might be one of the few pastors' wives who got into marriage, maybe knowing what they're getting themselves into. But there are women who just found themselves in that role because maybe their husband got called along the way. They never imagined or saw themselves as pastor's wife. So I am on this book, I'm assuring them to say, God knew what he was doing. You might not have known it yourself, but God knew what he was doing. And you are qualified. You are qualified by grace to be in that position, on that role. That's why the name, Dear First Lady, you are qualified by grace. If maybe I may continue, this book speaks to, it's a reminder. It's a call to holiness. It's a healing. It's an affirmation. It brings the message of encouragement to a pastor's wife, to a woman who's serving in the ministry, to remind them that before the expectations, before the roles, before the office of pastor's wife, you are a child of God. You are a daughter of the Most High God. So to me, it is a reminder that that's what basically the book is about, to say before the title, before all these burdens, all these silent battles that we are fighting, because yeah, we are fighting, we are carrying a lot as pastors' wives. We are carrying a lot. And to me, this book was a reminder to say, know who you are and in Christ. It's not about what you do for God, but it's about what God can do through you. And yeah,
Absolutely.
find that confidence that you are called and you are qualified by grace.
Pastor, would you say that there's enough respect and appreciation for the silent sacrifices that pastors' wives have to make? Because it goes far beyond what the congregation sees, just at church, doesn't it?
Unfortunately, not. Based on my experience and my observation, unfortunately, not. There isn't much of recognitions. I think as part of my book, there's a part where I say your role can be challenged. As a pastor's wife, the reality is we experience so much opposition. We experience so much what competition, even inside the church. Sometimes you are viewed as not spiritually enough. You are viewed as some will even say to you, you are not a pastor. Whenever they have challenges that can, maybe they can even come to you as a woman, maybe it's women's issues around the church. They can overlook you, they can bypass you to go and speak to their pastor because you are viewed not as the pastor. So as a result, that makes them not to acknowledge or accept you as being this person who's behind what they see on pulpit for your husband. So you are carrying a lot behind closed doors. You are an intercessor. You are making sure that everything runs smoothly in the church. But somehow you are being overlooked because you are not the one standing on pulpit. So we unfortunately we are going through that as pastors' wives, to say we are being overlooked, we are being challenged, we are being undermined, you are not spiritually enough. Maybe even inside the church, there's a woman who seems to be more powerful than you. Then you are perceived not to be not praying enough, or maybe not anointed enough. So our positions are mostly challenged. And when your position is challenged, the influence within the church will then determine how they accept you, how they value you as a mother or as the wife to their pastor.
And you know what many people don't understand is what you just described can put so much pressure on a pastor's wife because I found that sometimes if a pastor's wife can't sing or she can't preach or she can't do certain things, that there would be a lot of pressure on her. They say, no, that means you're not a pastor's wife, for instance. And it can cause a lot of pressure. It can even cause depression and put pressure on the marriage as well, isn't it, Pastor Cynthia?
Yes, I think one part of my, you just quoted one sentence of my book to say, I speak of my personal experience to say, I'll ask my husband to say, most pastors married worshipers, they married preachers. I can't sing to save my life. What happened? Because I can't sing. By then, I couldn't even preach. I was just a young lady being there, saving and all that. And the pressure that you just spoke about, you be the expectation that a pastor's wife must sing, the pastor's wife must be a preacher, is likely to take one into to expose yourself prematurely. I think somehow God helped me personally to get there, to say I'm navigating through this thing. I'm transitioning from being an ordinary member now to be in this office with expectations. I know I cannot sing. I know I'm not a preacher. And God helped me to understand that, to give myself grace and allow Him to take me through the process. Our church is now celebrated, has just celebrated 7 years. I think the first time I stood on pulpit to preach my first sermon, it was after 3 years. But before then, I was busy behind. As an administrator, I realized that I am good with administration. So, and our church, we just founded this ministry. I saw the need for administration. So I allowed God to take me through while busy with what I am good at, being an administrator. And because God knows, I think I've validated this before, God knows the expectations, He knows the role, the responsibilities. He will take you through the process. And now I can boldly say, God has taken me from being an administrator to a worshiper, to a preacher of the way. So we are likely to go and to carry those pressures of wanting to expose ourselves prematurely. The
Absolutely.
peer pressures of knowing pastor's wife have got ministries, they've got this and that, and you want to now to fit in into those. And when you expose yourself prematurely, you are likely to get discouraged. You are likely to embarrass yourself on pulpit, and it will take grace for you to stand up again and stand on that pulpit because you have done something which was not time for you to do
Absolutely.
that.
Absolutely. And I always say our callings differ. As first of all, our first and most important calling is towards our husbands. And I think sometimes the congregations don't understand just the role that the first lady plays in creating a conducive environment at home for the man of God to be able to function fully in his calling. That is, first of all, your first lady's first point of reference when it comes to the calling. So there can be things that you don't even see, but that woman of God is so important in the ecosystem of the church. I really believe that your book is going to help so many people. Who would you say listening today, Pastor Cynthia, absolutely has to get this book?
I think this book will be beneficiary to anyone who has a call in their lives, whether saving as a preacher, whether saving as an intercessor, whether saving as an usher, but anyone who has a call of saving in their lives can be beneficiary. Because I highlight a different a point of saying, maybe if I can mention just a few, cultivating your relationship with God, prioritizing, because in not losing yourself while saving, you can lose your relationship with God while saving. I gave an example of the scripture that speaks about Martha and Mary. It's in Luke 10, verse 42. When Martha went to Jesus and asked, say, Can't you see that my sister is not helping me? Mother was busy with duties in the a hospitality, making sure that everything is well in the house of the Lord, in the house. But now I use this scenario to say you can be in the house of God, serving as an usher, serving as an intercessor, serving as in a worship team. But what happens to your relationship with God? The word of God says, Mary, Jesus said, Mary chose the right thing, one thing that cannot be taken away from you. So when I look at this thing, is to say, this book can be for everyone to say, cultivate your relationship with God. In serving, make sure your relationship with God is at the right standing. The word of God says it cannot be taken away from you. When these things have been taken away from you as an usher, as in whatever position that you are taking, you remain grounded in God. I also speak of it being a lonely road. This one more focused on pastors' wives or women in the ministry. We are surrounded by a lot of people. We are always surrounded by a lot of people. But me saying that it's a lonely road, you are restricted. You cannot share things with just everyone. You cannot be vulnerable with everyone. There are things that you need to carry by yourself, that the things that you can only take to God. There are things that you can only talk to your husband about it, though you are surrounded by a lot of people. So I believe this book is for a young pastor's wife who's just now getting into this office, trying to navigate how to balance life, transitioning from being an ordinary member now becoming this leader with expectations and responsibilities. It also for a pastor's wife who has been in the ministry for a while, someone who's saying that I'm burnt out, I feel unseen. I've sacrificed the Lord in the ministry. I've sacrificed the Lord in serving. Yet I am unseen. I still show up with a smile. The expectation is that it doesn't matter what you are going through, we cannot have a moody mamuruti. It doesn't matter what you are going through, you still have to show up with that smile, and you are losing yourself in the altar of saving. So it will bring that encouragement to say people might not see you, people might not applaud you, people might not appreciate you, but God sees you. Remember who called you. Remember who you are serving. So it will give you that assurance to say, let me serve. I know the one who called me, and he's faithful to reward me. He will not overlook what I'm doing, but he will
Amen.
definitely reward me. So it also speaks to that old woman, that Mamuru who has been saving for the past 15 years, but they still feel, well, I'm alone in this journey. I'm so unseen. Yet I've sacrificed a lot, my sleepless night, my tears, my whatever that I'm doing. And unfortunately, they only see what they see on pulpit from their pastor, but not knowing that I am carrying this man, interceding. I'm making sure that he has got a comfortable home. I'm making sure that all is well with him before he stands on that pulpit. So I am not seen because I'm behind a closed doors. Yet they only see what they see on pulpit from the pastor. So I think the book can be beneficial to anyone.
Absolutely, and how beautifully you've put it into context for us now, Pastor Cynthia Makubele, talking about her brand new book titled Dear First Lady. It's available at just 200 rand per copy. Pastor Cynthia, if people would like to find out more about the book, purchase a copy of the book, how do they do that?
I can share my contact details with you. It's 076-971-3521. We can courier the book wherever someone is. I think that is basically the main contact. And maybe also my email address at Tsakani, N-T, T, N-T, S-A-K, HANI at gmail.com. We can be able to create the book to anywhere
In the country. Yes, Pastor Cynthia, just
in the
remind me of that
country.
number again. Just repeat the number for the sake of our viewers, please, our listeners, please.
It's 076-971-3521.
There you have it. That number 0769713521, Pastor Cynthia Makubele. Pastor, thank you so much for your time today. Really, really incredible speaking to you, getting to know the woman behind the voice and behind the book. And the Lord continue to bless you. Thank you so much, First Lady.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute a privilege and honor. And thank you so much. May God continue to bless and may continue to give guidance. And
Amen.
maybe just one last thing that I can say to all the listeners is to say, don't lose yourself within the ministry or to even shrink to fit in. God has appointed you. God has ordained you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I knew you before you were born. You have been ordained, you have been approved, you have been set apart. So carry yourself with that grace and wear your crown with confidence, knowing that the grace of God is upon you as you navigate through this journey of serving the calling that God has called you for. Thank you so
Amen.
much, Jenny. I really appreciate it.